Digital Stratosphere, the podcast that helps organizations throughout the world with their digital transformation journeys. Here, you will find independent and technology-agnostic advice with no software vendor sales spin to help you make the best decisions for your organization. Whether you are in the process of selecting technology, in the midst of your transformation, or trying to get your initiative back on track, Digital Stratosphere provides expertise and best practices to help.
With all the options available in the marketplace today as far as ERP systems, it's easy to get caught in analysis paralysis. It's hard to know which systems you should or shouldn't be choosing. Today, I'm going to show you a technology agnostic framework to help you get to a short list quickly. My name is Eric Kimberling. I'm the CEO of Third Stage Consulting. We're an independent digital transformation consulting firm that helps our clients through their transformation journeys. And when we're talking to clients and helping them through their evaluations with our software selection projects, a lot of times we get into a lot of discussion around the dozens or hundreds of systems that are available to them when they're looking at ERP systems. And it can be overwhelming to do demos of all of these systems, to get quantitative data comparing all these different systems. And we find that clients, when left to their own devices, or people that don't have the experience with software selection are left to their own devices, we end up evaluating too many systems. And we end up broadening the reach so much that we end up stuck in analysis paralysis. So I wanted to share today some ways to help narrow down the field and help get to that short list quickly, or at the very least, narrow it down to a handful of options that you can then do some further analysis and deep dive into to help you get to a selection. So a couple of things to keep in mind as you begin your software selection process. First of all, we need to recognize that the ERP software industry is in a state of transition. It's a state of disruption. It's a state of hysteria, as I've pointed out in some of our prediction videos for 2020. And the reason I say that is because two things. One is because the software itself is transitioning. So many vendors right now are doubling down on the cloud and moving all of their solutions from on-premise to cloud and SaaS models. What that means is you have a lot of inconsistency in how mature the products are and how far along these companies are in their digital transformations to the cloud. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing that is transitioning in the industry right now is if you look at the leadership of some of the major software vendors, there's been a lot of shakeups lately, a lot of changes, which suggests that there's likely to be changes in direction and different strategies that ERP vendors are going to be pursuing in coming years. For example, if we look at three of the top four ERP vendors, when we look at SAP, Oracle, Microsoft Dynamics, and Infor, those are the top four software vendors by market share. Three of those four have had new CEOs. In two cases, the CEOs have either resigned or been removed. In the case of Oracle, their co-CEO passed away recently. So what that suggests is that there's a lot of transition in the leadership ranks, which means that there's probably going to be a continued change in the direction of some of these software vendors. So the first thing we want to keep in mind as we go through our software selection and as we get to the framework I'm going to talk about here in a second is to remove the sales spin. When we're talking to software vendors, you're of course going to hear the best parts of what that software can offer and what that vendor can provide. So it's important to recognize, and I think most of us do, that we're getting a spun message from a sales and marketing perspective. And so we want to go in with somewhat skeptical eyes and start to poke holes in some of those assumptions and challenge some of the assumptions that the software vendors might be bringing to us. The next thing we want to look at is identify our sources for software selection. We can go out and Google ERP systems and find listings of dozens and hundreds of ERP systems out there. But as far as objective sources and how we can compare all the different options that are out there, I'm going to show you the three data points we use in helping our clients get to their software selection shortlist. So if this is our shortlist, we'll call this our ERP shortlist. Our clients often hire us for the software selection process because we can help them quickly get to the shortlist more quickly than other consulting organizations that maybe don't have the experience that we have with software selection or perhaps are not independent, which is the case of most consulting organizations. Most of them are not independent. So because we have those two things going for us, we can get to a shortlist pretty quickly. Now, the first thing we look at, and the most important thing we look at, is the client requirements. So we help define what the client requirements are, but it's not just a laundry list of hundreds of different business requirements we're looking at. We're actually prioritizing those requirements and honing in on those that are most important to the client and the ones that are biggest differentiators among ERP systems. That's how we arrive at those top 10 to 20% of the client requirements that'll help us quickly get to the shortlist. Now, the other data point we use is, we'll call this the third stage consulting selection and implementation experience. So we help clients both evaluate these systems every day, we help them implement it, so we have that hands-on experience with other clients going through the evaluation process and also helping them implement the software too. So because we have that hands-on experience, it's less of an academic exercise for us and more of a hands-on experiential experience. Now, that's data point number two that we use to get to our shortlist. Now, the next thing we look at is our vendor database. And we at Third Stage have a quantitative database that we actually license from Technology Evaluation Centers, if you haven't heard of them. They're a Canadian firm, industry analyst research firm, and all they do is track functionality and capabilities of different enterprise systems out there. So we augment our selection and implementation experience qualitatively with the quantitative data that we get from the database, and we map all that up against the prioritized, highest priority business requirements that our clients have. So in your software selection, if you can do these three things, take your highest priority business requirements, combine it with some sort of quantitative outside database, and I'm happy to talk to you about how we can help you do that, and also other past selection and implementation experience, that's going to allow you to get to a short list of three or four software vendors pretty quickly. And that'll save you a lot of time and money evaluating systems that you should have never been evaluating in the first place because it was never really a good fit for your organization.
If you are trying to achieve digital transformation success, turn to Third Stage Consulting Group. Third Stage's independent and technology-agnostic consulting team helps clients define their digital strategies, select the right software, and manage their implementations. With offices in the U.S., Europe, and Australia, our team helps the world's most forward-thinking organizations through their transformation pitfalls and risks. Whether you are embarking on an ERP, HCM, CRM, supply chain management, or any other digital transformation, contact Third Stage Consulting to see how we can help you reach the third stage of transformation success. Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.
So the next thing we want to do is unpack this client business requirements box a little bit more. And you'll see that I have a number of criteria I've listed up here. These are evaluation criteria that are somewhat intangible and qualitative that a lot of organizations look at. And when we're working with organizations, we try to understand what the highest priority criteria are for clients. And these are, again, very high level. We're not yet getting into the functional capabilities and the transactional capabilities of the software. We're talking more strategically and in general, what are the capabilities that we value most as an organization? And these criteria alone are oftentimes going to lead you to a shortened list very quickly. So we look at things like flexibility. How important is flexibility to you? For some organizations, it's very important. For other organizations, they don't value flexibility as much as they might value scalability. So scalability is another one. Scalability being how can we grow quickly? How can we create commonality and standardization across our entire enterprise? If that's important to you, that would be an area we hone in on. And that's right there. If we look at these two things, that's going to wipe out half of the systems in the marketplace because either they're not flexible enough or they're not scalable enough for what your priorities are. We also look at simplicity. Not to stereotype, but smaller and mid-sized organizations often value simplicity. They want a system that's easy to adopt, something they can get up and running very quickly. If that's the case, that's going to rule out a number of systems and allow you to narrow your focus on the ones that are the most simple. We also have integration. How well can we integrate to third-party systems? How open is the architecture? If that's important to you, if you're in a regulated environment, like pharmaceuticals, for example, where you have to use a laboratory information management system, or we are working with companies in the cannabis industry where there's regulatory systems that need to be used to track the product, we need to know that we can integrate our core ERP systems to these other third-party systems. So integration is very important. We also look at ease of use. How easy is the software to use? You look at some of the SaaS products that are out there today, or some of the products that have the Microsoft Windows look and feel. Sometimes those products can be easier to learn if you're an employee, and that ease of use is important to a lot of organizations. We also look at the deployment model. Do we need or want a SaaS or a cloud or an on-premise system? Despite all the hype in the industry around cloud, that's not necessarily the best answer for everyone. It is the best answer for vendors because it makes them more money, but it may be, and we still find, plenty of clients that still want on-premise solutions. So if you value on-premise solutions, for example, that may rule out a number of other vendors that have already proclaimed to have doubled down on cloud and SaaS and sunsetted, in some cases, their on-premise products. On the other hand, if you're looking for a SaaS solution, that's going to rule out a certain number of vendors because some vendors aren't SaaS or they haven't fully migrated to the cloud yet. So depending on what your deployment preference is, and it's only you that can decide that, then that'll determine what our shortlist might be. I also mentioned the functional requirements, your functional requirements, your prioritized functional requirements. I'm not talking about a laundry list of hundreds or thousands of requirements. I'm talking about those top tier, highest priority requirements I mentioned below that are either unique to you or unique to different ERP systems in the marketplace. Ideally, you want systems that can meet both those criteria. They're unique and important to you, and they're unique and important to different systems out there in the marketplace. Focus. If you're in a certain industry, like manufacturing is a great example. A lot of our clients are in manufacturing and distribution. There's some unique industry-specific capabilities we know we need to have. We know we need to have an MRP capability. We know we need to have product configuration if we're a complex manufacturer or a make-to-order or a custom order type of organization. So focus can be very important. And then finally, breadth of capabilities. For a multinational organization with diversified businesses, and we've acquired a bunch of different companies out there, and we want to remain a decentralized organization, that breadth of capability could be very important, and that could quickly rule out a number of systems. And by using these criteria and prioritizing these criteria, that's quickly going to narrow down the field for you. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to look at each one of these criteria and try and identify the systems that best meet each of these criteria, because we're just going to be back to where we started, which is too many options to choose from and a lot of systems that we shouldn't even be considering. Instead, what we want to do is to pick off the two or three things that we think are the most important and create somewhat of a matrix or a quadrant. And Gartner has their magic quadrant. I'll call this the not-so-magic quadrant because it's very, very simple and it's unbiased, and it's just based on some simple criteria. So if we're looking at a quadrant here, and let's just say, for example, we're a manufacturing organization. We want to focus on software vendors that have our industry focus. So that's going to be one criteria, industry focus. But we also want something that has a breadth of capabilities within manufacturing. That's going to narrow the field. So, for example, I'll tell you the ones that won't make it up into the upper quadrant. And by the way, this is more breadth, this is more industry focus. The ones that will probably be somewhere down in this matrix and things we might want to rule out quickly would be a product like, for example, Oracle NetSuite. Even though it was number one on our list, our top 10 list of ERP systems for 2020, it's not something that focuses on the manufacturing industry. It can do light manufacturing, but in terms of deep manufacturing capabilities as of right now, it doesn't have that depth and focus that we're looking for. It would also be ruled out largely because of the breadth of capability. So Oracle NetSuite has its strengths, as an example, but it's not broad enough to cover, you know, a wide variety of business functions, although many would argue that it can. But compared to other systems, there's other systems out there that have more breadth of capability. So if I'm looking at industry focus and I'm looking at breadth of capability, I might start to look at systems, for example, like Plex. Plex Systems is a manufacturing-specific SaaS solution that was built just for the manufacturing industry. It has a lot of broad capabilities within manufacturing. You also have QAD, You know, if I was in life sciences, I might look at QAD as a product that has that industry focus within life sciences in particular, not just manufacturing, but life sciences, and also has a certain breadth of capability to include inventory management, financials, and all the ERP-esque type of stuff. I might also look at a Sage. That's another system, Sage X3 from another entrant in our top 10 ERP systems list. I would probably also look at Infor. So you have Infor M3 and Cloud Suite. If I'm a bigger company with very broad capabilities, multinational, I might lean more towards the Infor M3 just because they have those broader capabilities, the multinational capabilities, whereas these systems do, but not to the same scale. So that's just an example of how I might use this matrix to quickly arrive at a shortlist. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you are a life sciences company that has these two criteria that this should be your shortlist, but I'm trying to give you some examples of how we would use this matrix to identify where our shortlist should be and the things that we know we want to rule out, which is just as important, by the way, as the ones that we know we want to consider. So here's one more example we'll use using this quadrant. We'll look at breadth of capability and we'll look at scalability. How well can this product scale for larger organizations, multinational, complex, diverse operations and whatnot? So in this case, we know we're probably not going to look at some of the tier two and tier three types of systems. So products like Exact Software, Acumatica, some of those tier twos and threes that are great products, but just not quite the breadth of capability we need as a larger complex organization, not quite the scalability we need for a high growth and large organization. But instead, so these are the ones we want to rule out. Instead, we're going to focus on products like S/4HANA, which there's a reason why so many big companies tend to gravitate toward S/4HANA. You'd also have your Oracle ERP Cloud, which a lot of bigger companies are using. You also have your Infor M3, and then maybe to a slightly lesser degree is D365 on the Microsoft side. So those are just some examples of products you might consider if what you're valuing and what you're looking for is breadth and scale. Now, the thing to note here, this is just two very simple examples, but the whole point here is that we want to look at what criteria are the most important to us, and we might do a couple different cuts at this to arrive at a semi-short list of 6 or 8 options. And then from there, we might mix in some other criteria to help us narrow it down even further. So this is a good way to get a first pass at a semi-short list, and then we can apply other maybe lower priority criteria to help us quickly narrow that down to the 3 or 4 systems that we're going to do more of a deep dive into. This is where we're going to start to reach out to vendors. We're going to see demos. We're going to maybe get some qualitative scoring from a vendor database. In fact, we can also use this to help define the initial cut at a short list. But once we have a short list, we can go deeper into the database to look at the quantitative results of some of those capabilities. So I hope you found this information useful. I hope this model helps you get to that shortlist that you're looking for. If you'd like to reach out and bounce around ideas on what shortlist you might be considering, feel free to reach out. I've included my email address below as well as my cell phone and WhatsApp contact information. Feel free to contact me. I also encourage you to follow us at thirdstage-consulting.com. Like this video, provide any comments that you have. I'd love to hear any feedback you have in your software selection process and questions you might have along the way. So I hope you found this helpful and hope you have a great day.
Learn more about us and download independent reports, videos, and other best practices at thirdstage-consulting.com.